is the wide selection without objection.
The Ministry of Truth. Good evening to you. This is the Ministry of Truth, and I'm Eric Corley, and I'll be here. I'll be here for the next hour or so, and I've been asked by management to tell you that when Lee said to go out and party, he didn't mean go out and take drugs or anything like that. Just for the record, go out and have fun. Read a good book. Watch a TV program. That kind of thing, you know? Anyway, it's 1 minute after 6 o'clock, and our phone lines are open as they always are, 246-7901. That's our phone number. You can call us up with anything that's on your mind, and there are certainly lots of things that could be on your mind. There are some things on my mind. There are things on everybody's mind. That's just the way life is. I'm looking through the paper here for interesting stories. There's always something interesting in the New York Times. Here's something about Newsweek. It's great when newspapers write about other papers and magazines. But officials of Newsweek magazine said yesterday that the Moscow bureau chief for that magazine had left the country voluntarily because of outrageous trumped-up charges. Robert Cullen, a 35-year-old native of Newark, was called into the foreign ministry office on Tuesday, and he left shortly afterward. The magazine spokesman, Gary Gerard, said he was given some outrageous, trumped-up charges which he vehemently denied and decided of his own volition to leave the country to consult with editors in New York in an atmosphere free of harassment. New York? Free of harassment? He said Mr. Cullen, who became Moscow bureau chief in December 1982, went to Frankfurt. He said Newsweek felt that the correspondent came under some harassment in the past couple of days due to Newsweek's accurate and aggressive reporting on a series of stories. He added that Mr. Cullen was one of two American correspondents contacted in recent days by Soviet dissidents. Mr. Cullen was also the target of charges from Soviet officials in January, Mr. Gerard said, adding there was an incident that involved trumped-up charges and allegations concerning a porno video film, which at the time Cullen strongly denied, and that is not involved with anything going on now. A lot of fun over there in Moscow and the Eastern Bloc. I believe another country has joined the boycott of the Olympics, which we were talking about last week. What was it, Poland today?
Was it?
Yeah, I think it was Poland, which leaves only Romania as one of the Eastern Bloc countries not to join.
Romania will probably come because they don't always, you know, they don't follow Moscow's every...
Do you know that the language of Romanian is considered a Romance language?
Well, yeah.
Along with French and Italian and all that?
Well, there's an interesting thing about that, though. If you understand Italian, I used to live in Italy. If you understand Italian, you can understand Yugoslavian and get some meaning out of it. And Yugoslavian, I suppose, is close to Romanian.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't consider that abnormal.
Did Yugoslavia join the boycott? I guess they must have, if Romania's the last Eastern Bloc country left.
Well, they don't really consider Yugoslavia an Eastern Bloc country.
Yeah, I know. That's why I was wondering. Because they seem to be rather independent. But it's certainly not a Western Bloc country, you know. So anyway, 246-7901 is our number. Let's have the computer say that for us.
516-246-7901.
Give us a call. You know something that's on my mind this last week? Okay, this has got me kind of upset, actually. Last week, I tried to buy a newspaper, okay? At a regular, reliable newspaper store that sell, you know, cards and cigarettes, that kind of thing. And it was hell trying to buy a newspaper because of all these people buying lotto tickets. They were lined up all the way out into the street. Yes. Now, I would love to know what motivates these people. I'm sure some of them are out there right now listening, okay? I'd like to hear, first of all, from any of those people, find out just what you know, why do you do this? And second of all, has anybody ever won the thing besides, you know,
yeah,
a couple of people?
See, like, only four people won huge amounts of money. I would like to hear from someone who won, you know, like maybe $10 or $20.
I've looked for people like that. I've never found them.
But I don't know. I think people will do anything for money. And if there's any chance that you all get some free money.
But why so many more people on this particular occasion? The jackpot was bigger? Fine. All these other people made the jackpot pretty much the same, you know. When you have more people, the odds kind of lessen against you.
Well, it was really hyped also, though. I mean, if you remember, they, you know, biggest jackpot in the state's history and all that junk.
I think it stinks.
It's all headlines, Eric.
Because people are throwing away money. They really are. I see housewives throwing away money, you know, and they could be feeding the kids. And there it goes into lottery tickets. You might as well just throw it out the window.
Yeah, or you have the person who, instead of buying a pack of cigarettes, buys a lottery ticket. And, you know,
Well, that's better, I guess.
Well, no, they can rationalize it that they're not buying cigarettes, but they're also, like, not sending the money to the poor people in Indonesia or, you know, wherever there are poor people.
Uh-huh.
You know, well, it's kind of like lotteries are a pretty unproductive, dead-end way to spend your money.
Well, not for New York State, okay? New York State always benefits in the end. You know, we've got one of the biggest...
I'm sure there are four people that won't agree with me, but...
Yeah, there are at least four people, but as far as bureaucracies go, I'm sure anybody who goes to Stony Brook knows how inept New York State is as far as getting things done. Bureaucracies are all like that, and New York State's one of the most bureaucratic states I've ever seen. They benefit from the lottery because all the money goes into taxes and supposedly ends up in education in the end, but a lot of it gets lost in the bureaucratic shuffle. The suggestion I have is, why not eliminate taxes altogether and just have people play lottery games and use that money for taxes? I mean, get more people to do it, fine. That way the people who aren't into this kind of thing and who don't like paying huge amounts of taxes won't have to unless they want
play.
To.
So instead of like getting an income tax return, you might win?
Yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be nice.
Add some fun to the season.
But suppose you had the case of like one person winning three times in a row by some miracle of chance.
There is no such thing. I've yet to find anybody who won anything besides another lottery ticket, you know?
Actually, $2.
Why can't we have a lottery where, you know, we do something nasty to the people in the end, like in that famous story, you know, they throw stones at them. Oh, that'd be fun.
If you're going to use lottery for taxes, you'd have several different types of lotteries.
Yeah.
Some of them would be bad prizes, and some of them would be good prizes, just like taxes, you know. Some people come out...
That's not a bad idea. You know, you win something, but you don't know if you've won money or like a huge lizard or something.
You could just break even.
Or instead of giving money, you could also get services.
Yeah, or you could get arrested. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
For no crime at all?
Just get arrested.
Spend 5 years in a federal prison.
We can make the lottery fun. In fact, you know, there's no reason why it can't be more imaginative. At least in my opinion. But, I don't know, I don't like the way things are now, because every time I want to buy a paper, I have to go through all these gambler people. That's what
they
are.
These ridiculous people are buying 50 tickets.
Yeah.
Go to somewhere where they sell beer, and then you won't have any.
I wish I had $50 to drop in a pop.
Now, how much do lottery tickets cost? How does this work? I don't even know. Does anyone know? Do people buy these things?
I don't know. I've never done that.
Are you talking about lotto?
Yeah, I think so. Is that the one? How many are there? There's the Spanish lottery. There's the regular lottery. There's
you gotta buy 100.
There was the baseball lottery. There are all kinds of lotteries.
Well, lotto, you know, you pick six numbers on the carbon sheet, and then you bring into a specified lotto place, and they send it into one big central place where they all the entries are put on microfilm or something, and then
microfiche, I'll bet.
Yeah, microfiche sounds better. And so they put them all on microfiche, and then they're classified, and then they pick the thing on TV with the ping pong balls with numbers on them.
And they do that in the middle of the news, too, you know, as if this is news. This isn't news. This is, you know, a waste of time. It really is. No one benefits. No one benefits except bureaucracies, like I said before. But I don't want to repeat myself. If anyone out there has ever won, and I don't see anyone calling to say they've won a lottery at any time, give us a call, 246-7901. You can even give us a call if you haven't won, and if you think that they're a waste of time, or if you want to change the subject, that's fine, too. Here's the phone number again.
516-246-7901.
Give us a call, and talk about whatever comes to mind. But I don't know. I've lost a lot of faith in the way the state is set up with all these benefits. You know, there's one thing that happened not too long ago that you never hear about. If you get a moving violation on your car, okay, I just happened to see this sign when I was wandering around motor vehicle department. Oh, what fun that is. And by the way, they're tacking on some more money to your license renewals.
Again?
Yeah, but this time for photos.
Ha, ha, ha.
And you know what it's paying for? They don't even develop the film right away. They send it to the chemist or something, and it takes 2 weeks, and you're paying for that. And anyway, what was I saying about driver's licenses?
Yeah, yeah. Motor vehicles.
Right. No, I saw a sign in the motor vehicle department, $10 surcharge for all traffic fines. Now, they don't tell you why there's a $10 surcharge. They just say there's a $10 surcharge. You have no way of knowing why this exists, what it's going to be used for. You're just told to pay the surcharge. It's that kind of thing, that typical bureaucratic law that is so upsetting. And I see that more and more, unfortunately. Well, 246-7901. Does anyone agree? Does anyone disagree? Is anyone out there? Let's read the weather. That usually brings in calls. It's 15 degrees in Stony Brook. 59 on the Fahrenheit scale.
I'm sorry, Eric, I had to put away my records. What conclusion did you come to?
Oh, I didn't really come to a conclusion. I just sort of ranted and raved a little bit.
So I know, like, I live near Hop Hog, and I always go to the Hop Hog Motor Vehicle Bureau, and ever since they've closed several of the other ones, there's been this incredible traffic through the Hop Hog Motor Vehicle Bureau, and there are lines that are like half a mile long, and you have to wait, and then you have to go to this other person, and you have to wait on another line, and it's really ridiculous.
It's horrible.
The trick is to get there at 7:30 in the morning.
It's a phone call, but someone's talking on the line, so I don't know if it's for us or not. Our number is 246-7901, and looks like there's a call coming through somewhere. Let me finish the weather. I started on the weather. I never finished it. It will be clear and cool tonight with patchy fog by morning, which sounds like fun, in the interior low-lying sections. You know where you are. Lows from around 40 interior low-lying sections to the upper 40s around the exterior high-lying sections. And tomorrow, increasing cloudiness with highs in the upper 60s. Outlook for Saturday, partly sunny and warmer. We do have a call. Let's go to it. USB, you're on the air.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
I think that a very appropriate song right now would be The Wheel by the Jerry Garcia Band.
Why is that?
Because it will always keep turning, and these people will always keep buying.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Is that what the song was written about?
You'd have to ask Jerry about that.
Jerry Garcia.
I don't think Jerry would remember.
Oh, sure he would. He's got notes somewhere, I'm sure.
Well, it's worth considering. Do you have any thoughts on what we were talking about?
Yeah, I think it's all, a pile.
Uh-huh.
Higher and deeper.
Yeah. Anything we can do about it?
Not really. Not unless you're the governor.
Yeah, no one here is the governor, are they?
No.
I saw him there once.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, he was here, but, like...
Yeah, he promised to legalize marijuana, but, you know, he forgot.
No, he was here, but we heckled him, and he wanted to know who we were, and...
You didn't tell him, did you?
No, Marburger had to tell him that we didn't go to the school.
Oh.
He promised to legalize marijuana?
He sort of insinuated that he would promise to sort of maybe do what he could.
Yeah, yeah, so that we, all of us, other people can do it while he's doing it.
You know, he's the biggest grower, and,
Well, we might be saying slanderous things over the air here.
I don't know if we should digress on this, but
Mario, what do you think? Come on, Mario, come on over here and talk to him.
Yeah, Mario, if you're within airwave listening, or if
we have no line of sight, but we have electronic connection.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Well, thanks for calling.
See that. The Wheel, Jerry Garcia Band, please.
Okay, take care.
Bye.
Well, it's not our policy to play music during...
Yes, did anybody tell him that this was a talk show?
This is a talk show. You know, we could hum a few bars, maybe.
We talk.
Yeah, and people listen. 246-7901, area code 516 for all you Connecticut people and Westchester people and everyone else out there. And I had other things on my mind. I always have these things on my mind.
I'm sure if you're listening to us in a spacecraft far above the Earth, that if you have sufficiently advanced technology to be there, you can tap into the phone lines and you won't need an area code.
Get one of the cellular phones that are coming out.
Cellular
That's
going to
be
phones.
Great. You know, everyone's going to have a phone in their car.
Oh, yeah, those, yes.
It's going to be affordable.
Yeah.
No more house phones. Everyone will have a phone attached to them at all times. There's no such thing as not being home. You're always by yourself somewhere.
What were you just about to read?
Let's see. What do I have here? Oh, here's an article about Palestinian camp being stormed in Lebanon. Isn't that fun? Israeli troops stormed into a Palestinian refugee camp yesterday, blew up some houses, seized weapons, and arrested 150 people.
Hey.
And a hospital said at least 20 people were wounded. The incident at the Ain El Hiwa refugee camp on the edge of Sidon, 25 miles south of Beirut, came a day after Beirut newspapers reported an anti-Israel demonstration in the camp. Think there's a relation?
Nah.
Oh, boy. Well, Israeli military sources in Tel Aviv said troops entered the camp to carry out searches and actions meant to prevent terrorist actions. You shouldn't use the word actions twice in a single sentence.
Terrorist actions. What is terrorist action?
Thinking. Over there, it's thinking. They said that a few people were arrested and the two houses in which weapons and ammunition were found had been blown up. They said two people who lived in the houses were hurt while opposing the arrests. Oh, what a fun part of the world that is.
What was, Thank you. What? That's what he thinks we should do. Put those phones in the lead box. I don't know if that would really help, but anyway.
You were going to say something.
I forgot what it was, because he handed this back to me.
516-246-7901.
Come on, people, call up. We need phone calls. We're not asking you for money. Some stations that want your phone calls ask for your money. We don't.
We're just done if you don't call.
We just want... Well, we don't have to ask for their money, because we know where they live. We'll just, like, show up and we've been trained by certain elements of the American establishment. We'll just show up in the middle of the night and take you away, and your loved ones will never see you again.
Yeah, and we've got diplomatic immunity, too. You know, we're USB people.
I don't see those lights lighting up.
I don't either. They're supposed to light up like Christmas trees, you know?
Let me just take a look.
That's what they say. Oh, look at that. One's lighting up. And is that another one lighting up?
Oh, let me go.
You want to screen that? Okay, you screen it. We always screen our calls to keep the riffraff out, you know? There's always a riffraff out there somewhere. 17 minutes after 6 o'clock, this is the Ministry of Truth. I'm Eric Corley. We'll be here until 7 o'clock. The topic is open. We can talk about Olympics, or we can talk about Lotto, or springtime, all kinds of things like that. And coming up at 7 o'clock, we have Curtain Up, Broadway soundtracks and Hollywood stuff and all that kind of thing, all here on USB. Well, is this call for us? Okay, I guess it is. Let's see who's there. USB, you're on the air.
Hey, we were talking about New York State before, about how to get things done.
Yeah.
All right, well, maybe somebody over here will hear me, and it might do me some good.
Okay.
All right, now listen to this. This is a crazy thing that's happening to my job. I work for the state. Melville, I fixed the televisions over there.
This is going to be good.
And, I had a provisional position, and I was told it was permanent, but I got a letter anyway saying it was provisional. All right. Now, this job has been, I don't know when it was created, but it's been with the state for a long time. And there was never a test for this job. I'm a television tech, but the job title is electronic equipment mechanic. All right? Now, I've been there 2.5 years. About a year ago, they asked me for some information pertaining to a test the state would like to create for my job in the event that, you know, I should quit or, you know, any other facility loses their television sickness. They'd like to have a test for my job so that they can see if the person has the right credentials. All right. Now, the test was in fact created, and I remember when they asked me further questions about the test that was going to be created, but, you know, I asked them, you know, should I concern myself with this test? They said, no, you have seniority, you're already in the position. If you should quit, somebody else, you know, has to take the test to get your position, but you don't have to worry about it. When I walked into work Tuesday morning, I was told, did I take the test? I said, no. Well, there's 10 people being interviewed for my job Friday, and it looks like I might be out of work because I didn't take the test that was given back in August of 1983. So here I am, out of work. Nobody tells me about any test. And I'm probably getting laid off. You know, does that make any sense to you?
Who was it who told you not to take the test?
I wish I had that in writing. It was one of the ladies in personnel. Dallas Karen had come up, because she was the one that was down.
Well, what department of the state is this, anyway?
All right. Well, this is one of the mental facilities, the mental hygiene. It's the retarded. In Melville. It's not a Long Island Developmental Center.
Yeah.
See, I've been a television technician there for 2.5 years now. And, you know, I just walked into work on Tuesday and they tell me, you know, there's 10 people being interviewed for your job Friday, that's tomorrow.
Well, let me ask you this. Have you spoken to anybody about this?
I've gone to a union.
They
don't seem, they seem to be trying, but they don't seem that overly concerned about it. Here I am, paying my union dues.
Well, yeah, unions are almost as bad as management at this stage. You know, everyone's just out for what it's, you know, what's in it for them.
They want their $7 a month.
Yeah, they just want your dues. They don't really care about your individual feelings. What I think you should do is go straight to, go as high as you can go, you know.
I can go to Albany, you know, but I really, you know how the buck gets passed and you wind up right back where it used to be.
Yeah. But go to, find out a name. Find out a name of your supervisor's supervisor. Go.
Well, I've been doing all that. Believe me, I already went to the regional office in Hartford. I went above.
Have you gotten any results?
Well, not yet, but tomorrow could be my last day there. Well, actually, Albany already called down to have my item number revoked, meaning, you know, as of June 9th, I'm no longer employed there. I had a provisional item. But, you know, had I known that it was imperative that I take that test, of course I would have taken the test.
Right.
And I wasn't notified, you know how the state does it. They post the items coming up. It was on the posted, you know, and here I am, you know, whack, right back in the head. Oh, no job. You're out the door. You know, here I am doing a good job for 2.5 years.
Right, well, it's bureaucracy that sort of strangled you there. But what I suggest you do is find out the name of somebody and write them a very detailed letter. Now, letters seem to do tricks. You can't be put on hold with letters. And if it's directed directly to a single person and, you know, phrased well, it does tend to get results. Like, I remember once I got a parking ticket in New York and I wrote to Mayor Koch and he wrote back.
Who am I speaking to now?
What's that?
Who am I speaking to right now?
You're speaking to the Ministry of Truth radio program. I'm Eric Corley, and we're on the air.
I called last week about they had the legislator on something.
That was a couple of weeks ago. In fact, next week we have the legislators
on,
too.
That's a different radio show.
Yeah, it's on at the same time.
Because that was what I was telling about the traffic ticket, the $10 surcharge. I was trying to figure out what the money what was being done with that.
Oh, you called about that, too, huh? Yeah, I was just talking about that a few minutes ago. Did you ever find out what that's used for, that $10 surcharge?
Yeah, I'm so involved with this thing with my job, you know. I'm not really concerned with that. The only thing I'm worried about right now is trying to save my job. Walked in and, oh, 10 people being interviewed for your job, you know. Just imagine how you'd feel.
Yeah. No, well, you should be very, you know, you should be livid with rage. Now, there are ways to handle it, you know,
Well, it's morally wrong what they did, but legally, from what the union tells me, they had every right to do that because I had a provisional position. I mean, had I known there was going to be a test, of course I would have took the test. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
competitive item now. It was not competitive when I got the job.
Well, what agencies can you check with?
Let's see. I've only gone with my CSEA, the union. I was going to go to the Civil Service Commission up in Albany. I might just drive up there personally, up the plaza up there.
But I don't know if you'll get anywhere by doing that. The lines up there are longer than they are down here. I think as long as you address as many different people as you can and let them all know about this, someone's bound to say something somewhere along the line.
Well, maybe somebody over the radio, the USB is a non-commercial
station.
I hope maybe somebody will hear something.
Have you contacted the State Department of Labor?
Well, what they're doing is illegal, and if they fill that position with somebody else and you have a valid grievance, then I think, since what they did to you is illegal, they'll have to do something else illegal and fire the person who fills your job and give it back to you.
That's true, but what they're doing is not illegal, as the union told me, because I had a provisional job. It was my duty to find out when that test was given, but there never was a test for that job. You see, so why should I concern myself worrying about looking for a test that doesn't exist. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But they say that it's my fault, but I didn't look for the test. They said they were going to create one, and I didn't have to worry about it anyway because I already filled the position.
What's your union local?
I don't know the number. It's CSEA. I don't know. I just go down. I know who to go see.
Is it the one at Waverly Avenue?
We shouldn't get specifics here.
Yeah, we shouldn't really.
Right over here in Hartford.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, what we suggest you do is contact as many different agencies, State Department of Labor for one thing. Talk to a lot of different people. Someone will do something if you contact enough people. Because what was done to you is morally incorrect. Whether or not it's legally right is something else. But sometimes morality plays a part in these things, and you can get someplace by impressing people with the injustice of it.
Well, I have a lot of people down at work that agree with me.
Well, that's fine. That's the kind of thing you need.
Well, I mean, it's they're not in a position to do anything about it, but I've had a few guys trying to help me out. They've been even making a few phone calls. I got some people riled up about, but they see this happening. Here I am working, and the next day, you're out. You're not in here anymore. How is anybody supposed to know?
Be persistent and make that point to lots of people, and I'm sure you'll get someplace. Okay?
It was nice to talk to you.
Okay. Glad we could help. Call us back in a couple of weeks. Let us know how things are working out.
All right.
Thanks for calling. Boy, I hate it when the state does that to people.
Isn't it great that this is a free society and you can go to arbitration and you don't have to firebomb buildings?
Yeah. At least not at this stage. Maybe later on we'll get to that point.
We should try and find out if they have a grievance procedure.
Yeah. There are grievance procedures, I'm sure. But
you must locate them.
Unions should help you in cases like that.
Yeah, there's always terrorism, but we're not advocating anything illegal.
No. Terrorism is illegal, isn't it?
I think it is, but
last I heard.
I mention this every so often, but I'd like to mention it again, that if you advocate the overthrow of the government, they'll take away your license. It says that in the Motor Vehicle Handbook.
Yes, and they'll take away your passport, and they'll take away everything.
Why'd they take away your passport? Wouldn't they want you to leave?
No, they want to know where you are.
At all times. Interesting. So, have you ever had anything like that happen, a bureaucratic mess-up? I think I've had things happen in my favor. Once my car registration somehow got paid by itself.
That's an interesting one. No, I've never had anything like that happen. I'm just trying to think if I had anything favorable or unfavorable.
Should I get closer?
Yeah, I think you should get closer because you sound like you're in a chamber.
Chamber of horrors.
But we have another call, so let's go to that. USB, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi there.
Okay. I hear you talking about bureaucracy and a lot of the teachers and things similar.
Yeah.
You don't understand either why people are going out and spend money on a lot of the teachers, things like that. I really don't.
Hopefully far away from it, as far away as possible.
But really, I'm in the ghetto, you know, so I figure, you know, I don't understand why you can't understand it, why people don't buy a lot of the tickets.
Why people don't buy?
Yeah.
Well, I understand why people don't buy. I don't understand why people do buy these things.
Well, it's very simple. First of all, you know, people in the ghetto are poor people. They have no kind of hope. I hear you talking about, you know, Stony Brook and things like that. You're probably a professional or something similar.
Not really, but I see what you're trying to say. Yeah, this is a one chance that people have.
Yeah, the only hope the poor people have, you know what I mean? Sincere, my name is Ricky, and I work in electronics. I have nothing to see with a lot of these things like that.
Uh-huh.
But I do, you know, I do from time to time pick up my own tickets also.
Yeah.
And I figure, let me explain to you what, you know, the tickets is a dollar. And you got two chances to win.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, when you hear about 22 million, hey, you got a chance to dreaming, you know, for a couple of days.
Yeah.
What you can do with, you know, with 22 million. You throw out a dollar and you got a little hope.
It's just, when I see people buying lots of them, I guess that's when I get kind of annoyed, because it's such a waste. You're throwing away stuff that if you saved it, then you'd be able to do something with it. But instead, you know, it's just, it's waste. I mean, you know, if you do it once in a while, I don't see any problem with it, but I see obsessive people who buy 5 or 10 of them at one time and then go back to the end of the line and wait again, week after week.
You know, I not agree that people spend their milk money in lottery tickets. That's not supposed to be. But it's poor people, you know, it's poor. We don't have any other kind of hope.
Well, you know, there's other kinds of hope besides monetary gain. You know, there's other ways to get ahead.
Eric, if someone's
a lot of ways, right. You know, like myself, if I had some money right now, I'd be over there in Stony Brook.
Well, you don't need money to be here. I can vouch for that.
We're all poor.
Yeah, we're really, you know.
Yeah, but I mean university.
Uh-huh.
And the university, and stay in the university.
Yeah. Well, you do have a point there about higher education being cut off to poor people. That's certainly true. Maybe they'll have some sort of a lottery where you win a college education or something.
That's what I mean, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's by the way, I like your program. I always listen to you guys.
Great. Where are you calling from?
I'm from Bayshore.
Bayshore?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm originally from Santo Domingo, but right now I'm in Bayshore.
Uh-huh. You probably can't pick us up in Santo Domingo.
Did you saw the program last night from Francis Nassas over there on the island?
No.
No, you didn't.
I missed that.
Beautiful.
Okay, well, thanks for calling.
Okay.
Take care.
Eric, if somebody told you that there was more to life than money, I mean, would you tend to treat that person seriously?
Yeah.
You would?
I don't have any money, and I think there's more to life.
I have no money at all, but I think there's more to life than not having money.
The happiest moments of my life, I find, have come when I'm not, you know, exactly wealthy. I don't think there's anything to do with it, but it's, you know, it's...
We have another call.
Yeah, we do. 246-7901. What I'm trying to say is you don't need money to be happy. You know?
No, that's true.
And
if you don't need money to be happy.
If you think you do, then you find out you don't soon enough when you get it, you know? That's all I'm trying to say. USB, you're on the air.
Hi, I'd like to talk about the Olympics.
You want to talk about what?
Olympics.
Okay.
Could you speak a little louder, please?
Sure.
Oh, that's better.
Okay. Actually, I just wanted to express my sadness over the situation. I don't know your opinion on it, but I just feel that it's a real vital thing in this world, and I feel like the whole Olympic thing is totally gone after this with the Russians. I just don't think there's going to be any more Olympics, and I just think it's real sad.
Uh-huh. Do you think this has more of an effect than the American boycott in 1980?
Oh, yeah.
How come?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think in a sense, when Jimmy Carter first did that, I kind of felt he was justified until I talked to one of the athletes, a friend of mine who was a fencer who couldn't be in the Olympics and who was really really angry over the whole thing. The fact that the politics were so entangled with athletics and how he had trained really so long and now the whole thing was gone for him because he was an older person and he couldn't go in it the next 4 years. He didn't think he could either anyway. And I just think with the Russians having done this and really having no justification at all, I mean, I don't think the security thing is really a valid reason.
You think it's just tit for tat?
Yeah, but I just feel that it's just gotten to the point where the politics have just erased the beauty of the event, and I just don't even see there being a coming together in 4 more years at all, with the Americans having done their thing and then the Russians, you know. And I just think it's such an important thing every 4 years, even though it's always been tainted with some really bad and horrible political thing. I still think it's so important, and now I think it's gone. And I was wondering what your opinion was.
Well, it seems to me that the... And it's not just the fault of the Reagan administration, it's the fault of everybody concerned. But it seems to me that, like, the world has become so polarized that now you have these two factions,
right,
the Soviets and the Americans, who won't even take time out from that every 4 years to play.
Right, exactly. Right. And they just make it even more pronounced. You know, the Americans and the Russians, and those are the two sides. You're right. Every 4 years, let's just give it a break, you know, and let the athletes do this thing.
You know what I think? I think any country that boycotts should be banned for a generation or a century or so from hosting the games. And if that was the case, then the United States wouldn't be hosting these games. And I think that's
well, maybe that would have been fair.
Yeah, that would have prevented any kind of revenge or things.
Sure.
It's awfully harsh, Eric.
What's harsh about that, you know?
Banning a country for a century from hosting the games?
Well, maybe, just, you know, enough time to let everybody
maybe
responsible
not a
die.
But a good long time.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I think that made it maybe very hard for the Russians to enter into the games after we had boycotted it in 70.
Well, also the thing that's really a pity is that the Russians have some very good athletes this year. I was reading last night about one of their swimmers.
Yeah.
And I don't recall his name because it's one of those Russian names that I don't ever pronounce correctly anyway. You know, but the Olympics this year isn't going to be any kind of competition.
Oh, no. I don't even want to watch it, and I look forward to it. It's like...
And the only thing the Americans are worried about is whether ABC will recover their investment.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Isn't that sad? Why not just show for our country that, you know?
And the fact that they didn't broadcast the 1980 Olympics because the Americans weren't in it.
Yeah, right, and and I would have gladly watched it.
Yeah, we could have learned a lot about the Soviet Union through watching something in another city. I know I've benefited a lot from these press conferences they have at 4 o'clock in the morning on cable news network. They, you know, they suddenly go live to Moscow, or when one of their leaders dies, every so often they show the funeral live, and that's interesting. You know, you learn a lot about the way the place is set up, the way it looks, and I'm curious. I want to know more.
Yeah.
But a lot's not being told to us.
Eric, I'm going to leave.
Bye, Lee.
Okay, well, thank you.
Okay, thanks for calling. Where are you calling from, by the way?
From Pawtucket.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Well, keep on listening.
What?
Keep on listening.
Okay, well, I always listen.
Okay.
My way home.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
6:38 p.m. on a Thursday night. Give us a call at 246-7901, area code 516, and tell us your views on Olympics or Lotto or anything that's new in the world today. Right, Lee?
Right. Call up.
You want to stay till the next call?
No, I can't really. We have to get home and watch the further adventures of Doctor Who.
Oh, maybe that's what everyone's doing.
If you want to call up and talk about anything, call 246-7901. We know where you live. We'll come to get you, take you away. No one ever see you again.
Thanks, Lee.
Anytime, Eric.
Sure. Well, if there's anyone left now, the number is still the same.
2467901.
And we're really open to all kinds of things here. We're WUSB in Stony Brook, and it's also finals week here at the campus of the State University at Stony Brook. I can see our new program director in the conference room typing up a paper, and she seems to be making some progress. All kinds of funny things are happening around this campus as it prepares to close down for a few weeks anyway, until the summer session starts. If you're out there writing a paper and trying to concentrate and I'm annoying you, give us a call, and we'll admit to it. 246-7901. And I believe Friday's the last day of classes? Friday's the last day of finals. Something like that. Anyway, time to read the weather again. It's now 16 degrees on the Celsius scale, 61 Fahrenheit. And we're expecting some patchy fog to be rolling in overnight, especially in those interior low-lying sections, which are scattered here and there. Lows around 40, or the upper 40s, depending on where you are. Increasing cloudiness with highs in the upper 60s, and the outlook for Saturday calls for partly sunny and warmer conditions. There are no warnings or advisories for Long Island waters at the present time. Good night to go out on a boat somewhere, or just get ready for springtime to come by. Yeah. What's going on out there? Has everyone left for the summer or something? Well, we always get calls from off campus, so it couldn't be that. There's got to be something. Come on, is there like a nuclear bomb out there I don't know about? Where is everyone? Come on, what's wrong with the phones here? They seem to be working. 246-7901. This is open line, live. Someone just left the room, even though there was no one here. That's weird. Area code 516-246-7901. And, I don't know what else to talk about. I've pretty much spewed forth everything I can think of about the horrors of New York State and the lousy things that they do to people and things like that. Yeah, I've said everything I know on the subject. I'd like a little more provocation. 246-7901. I could find something interesting to play over here. Looks like we have a call. So we're going to screen that? No, I'll take a chance and not even screen it. USB, you're on the air.
Oh, how are you?
Hi there.
I'd just like to express my opinion on how sad it is that any man's dreams has to be involved with money. Like, you can't dream whatever you want to dream without involving money. For example, if you want to go up to the top of a hill and live, top of a mountain and live by yourself in a house, they have to have money.
Uh-huh.
I think it's very sad that the whole world, it seems especially America, is involved in this.
I can't think of a single thing that you can get in this place that doesn't involve money.
Really, it's what are you supposed to do, you know? If you choose to drop out, you don't seem to have much of a choice.
Uh-huh.
Interesting that mankind can let himself go to that depth, you know?
What's that?
It's interesting that mankind can let himself go that deep into money.
Yeah. Do you think that's only around in our particular culture, or is that mankind?
Well, it's more prevalent in American culture because there's more money here than probably anywhere else in the world.
Uh-huh.
And it's more involved. I mean, you can't travel 10 miles without some money.
Yeah.
You can't do nothing. It's strange.
You don't think you can do anything about it?
I don't think so at all. I'm not going to shift the world.
Well, where's it going to lead then? Is it going to keep getting worse? Is it going to stabilize?
I don't know. Nature is the only thing that can stop it, I say. I think it's the only thing that can set us back into a position where money doesn't matter. Getting food out of the ground is the only thing that will matter in every individual.
You mean blow us back to the cave days or something?
Basically, I mean, is there any other way?
Well, that's, I don't know. Maybe I prefer money.
Really? I'm not saying it's the worst thing in the world. I mean, it's hard to get your hands on that shit, but excuse me.
Well, that's okay. The thing that I guess bothers me more than people wanting money so much is the fact that we're so out of tune with the rest of the world that, you know, isn't into the material thing so much, and they're kind of out of tune as to what we're all about. And
yeah,
this, this conflict growing and misunderstandings abounding, that's what's really going to do us in the end.
Yeah, that's it. It's very interesting you say that. I just said that to my wife while I was listening.
In those exact words?
No, not quite. But I said it's very interesting the way America is so uninvolved with the rest of the world.
Yeah.
The individuals in it. Politically, they're very involved, but the working class people, I should say, the middle class or whoever.
Well, for instance, you don't find out anything about a country, say, you know, a country like Chad or something, until they have some sort of conflict, some
right.
sort of revolution or something.
Right.
You don't know anything about it up until that point.
Or something.
Yeah, it takes a crisis to even know these people exist. I think if we knew these people existed before these horrible things happened to them, then maybe we'd be more in
yeah.
tune.
Yeah, that's another thing that I find interesting is the way America. Well, I think the reason for that is there's so much in America. Life is so complicated. There's so many things you got to know and do that it's too much to worry about other countries. You know?
Uh-huh. Why do you think other countries resent America? I mean, if we are
because lack of knowledge, lack of experience.
Uh-huh.
Can't really tell what it's like. How can they? They have to be there. They have to live there. They have to work there to understand the country and the people.
Uh-huh.
You can't tell from your storybooks or a quick two-week vacation.
Well, what I'm always curious about is there are all these demonstrations at U.S. embassies and people taking hostages and that kind of thing. It's usually against the United States or some Western country, but the other countries like the Soviet Union or China, ones that are rather repressive, there are no demonstrations against them. I'm just wondering why.
Well, maybe one, you don't hear about them.
Uh-huh.
Too, because America is so involved in the rest of the world.
Yeah.
It's such a massive force, economically, physically, any other way, that it is naturally, I'd say, involved with the rest of the world. It's a small place at this point. America is a big country.
One thing that makes me a little bit uneasy is the fact that you can easily buy a Coke in any part of the world, and I just think that's kind of maybe an unwelcome extension of our country into other people's
lives. McDonald's in Singapore.
Yeah. Now, you know, I'd prefer that there be certain individuality in all lands. I don't think there's a particular need for McDonald's in Singapore, and I don't think they're doing it out of the kindness of their heart. It's just to expand profits, and,
yeah.
and maybe the people in Singapore work for 3 cents an hour, too.
Yeah, really. But McDonald's is the epitomization of America for a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
In a lot of places.
It sure is. Fast food and everything. You know, come to think of it, though, I went to McDonald's yesterday to get some fries or something, and it took, from the moment I drove up and made my order to the moment I drove away and was happy and everything,
3 seconds.
It was under a minute.
Yeah.
I never had that happen before. It was so fast.
I
couldn't believe it. That is fast food. I mean, you know, it's good, I guess, but, you know, Americans are always rushing around. It's really something. Whether they're going through schoolwork or having lunch, it's always a rush. And it's amazing. More of us are dropping dead every day.
It's a very, very slow country.
What?
I mean, the atmosphere and the attitudes are lot at a slower pace.
What country is this?
Ireland.
Ireland?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a massive difference when you come from one side to the other. The pace of life, it's really prevalent.
Uh-huh.
And people who go to Ireland from here really see that right away. It's an amazing difference.
Well, there are many countries I think you could point out that have a much more relaxed view. In fact, there are parts of this country. You know, let's be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
There are parts of the eastern end of Long Island that are like that. That are sort of, you know, cut adrift from the rest of the world. In fact, I was thinking about this the other day. Most people around really don't seem to care what's happening in El Salvador or any place else. You know, they're just interested in their own lives. And quite frankly, that doesn't bother me. You know, as long as they're not doing anything bad towards the rest of the world.
That's normal. That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you concern yourself with, you know so much from TV and radio about what's going on in the rest of the world? You can't feel for everybody. You can't take it all in.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to try. I know people who do try that.
Yeah, I mean, how much can a man take or anybody take? You know, there's a lot going on in the world, and it's complicated enough to run your own life.
Yeah, we're certainly never going to see complete justice everywhere. We can just try to work towards improvement in various places. But if you want to see, you know, everything change, you're going to have to live to be 10,000 years old or something. It's not going to happen overnight. It's kind of silly to think it is, but at the same time, there's no need to be overly pessimistic about it.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for calling and sharing all this with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on here. I'd like to say hello to my wife.
Okay.
Hello, very much.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the town of Patchogue.
Town of Patchogue. Great place.
All right.
Thanks for calling again.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 246-7901 is our phone number. We have time for a couple of more calls. If you have any views on the world situation or the local situation, anything fun happening on Long Island, you know, we have the Arts and Crafts Festival coming up on, what is that, the 27th, the 29th? Whatever day Sunday, Memorial Day is. Oh, there's a calendar in front of me. Wow, that's the 27th. Okay, the 27th will be the Arts and Crafts Festival in Port Jefferson. And USB, as always, will be broadcasting that live. It's a lot of fun, and I strongly suggest people go down there and check it out. All kinds of great things like barbershop quartets and weird shops that sell all kinds of interesting things that you'd never find anyplace else. It's worth going down to, and it's all happening on Sunday, May 27th, and I believe the rain date is the week after that or something, if it should rain. It never rains. Steve Kreitzer, hi there. What are you doing here? Oh, is tonight the USB meeting?
Yeah.
You mean all the USB people are going to be here, huh? No wonder they're crawling out of the woodwork. I see Jim Dexter and Marianne in there. Wow.
Marianne hasn't left there since last night.
She's typing a paper. Oh, boy. Oh, here's a call. I'll see who this is. USB, you're on the air.
I'm on the air.
Yeah. Do you want to be on the air?
Why not?
Okay.
I just wanted to say something about your lottery.
Okay. My lottery?
Well, the lotto and the lottery.
Okay, go ahead.
That's what dreams are made of.
It's what dreams are made of?
Why, sure. Some poor person wins the lottery, he's been dreaming about it, and he wins it. I think that's just great.
Yeah, but how many people played this last lottery?
What difference does that make?
Well, let's say...
there were four whose dream came true.
Four out of, you know...
Out of 18 million, so what? That's four. You know, there have been drawings for years. There were the Irish sweepstakes for years was the greatest thing. This country didn't develop lotteries. In South America, the lottery is tremendous. Everyone's looking for a little piece of action, a dream.
Uh-huh.
And if they get it for the price of a couple of pence or a dollar, why not?
Well, yeah, I have no problems with that. I see people wasting lots of money, though, thinking that the more times they buy it, the more of a chance they got. And it reaches a point where they're losing out on things because they think they're going to win if they keep doing this. And, you know, they waste like $50 in a week. Do you think that's part of this dream?
Well, I mean, it's certainly a little extreme if you go overboard on it. But certainly to... just spend a dollar or two isn't going to hurt if you can afford it.
Yeah.
I mean, needless to say, anyone that gambles, if they're gambling to the extent where it's bothering food for the children on the table and the rest, I wouldn't go for that. But as far as a lottery ticket, why not?
Yeah, I'm in total agreement there. I just think that there's starting to be a problem comparable to someone who goes out to OTB and bets money on horses. People see a problem there. They know that kind of problem exists. I think we should start waking up to the fact that it exists with Lotto, too.
Oh, I don't know. The only thing I saw was one person bought 500 Lotto tickets for,
God.
Hopefully, for this drawing. Now, there were something like, well, there were four first place winners.
Uh-huh.
There were a good many other winners also. There were a lot of winners, 8,000 or something, that won $13 or something like that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's a chance. I see nothing wrong with it.
Nothing wrong with it if
it's
not...
to be for education, too, isn't it?
Well, from what I understand, the excess money goes to education. Yeah, that's positive if it really makes it there, but... I don't have much faith in the state bureaucracy, as you must know by now. I'm kind of curious as to how much of it actually makes it that far.
There's one thing I'd like to ask you, and that's that I heard someone playing a recording of I Want to Be Me. And I think it was after this program last week.
Uh-huh.
Would you know what the recording was?
I suggest you call up after 7 o'clock and talk to the person on the air, and he can probably tell you, or certainly point you in the right direction anyway.
Right. Who would that be?
Well, I would be the host of Curtain Up, who would be Mark Keller, actually, this week. And he can tell you just about anything that has to do with Broadway soundtracks. Or...
Call the same number, then.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. I will do that.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Right-ho.
Bye-bye. 246-7901. I'll give it another 30 seconds, and then we really have to be moving on out of here until, I guess, 2 weeks from now, because next week we have the legislators coming in, legislator Stephen Engelbright and Gregory Blass, who are both down in Washington, D.C. right now, I believe, trying to get the Shoreham nuclear power plant from opening. Noble cause, some might say. It's 5 minutes to 7 o'clock, and yeah, I guess we'll wrap it up for this week. Seems to be a popular request. Should I take this one last call? All right, I'll take this one last call. USB, you're on the air.
Oh, I was just listening to all your talk about lottery and everything.
Yeah?
It just brings back to mind George Orwell's 1984, where all the pros lived for was to play a lottery and to drink alcohol and everything.
The pros lived for the lottery and to watch football on Sundays, I believe. What? Yeah, there wasn't anything of intellectual stimulation. It was pretty much just... you know, a chance to get ahead, yeah.
Just wasting your money on lottery while things around the world were going on, Mr. Disney, all that.
Uh-huh. That's a very good point. That is a very good point. Thanks for bringing that up.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Yes, another 1984 analogy. The proles used to play lotteries all the time. I believe that is true. The proles being the proletariats in 1984... The people who weren't really victimized all that much, who were allowed to live their lives, but if they got too much out of hand, then they disappeared. Well, we're going to disappear now until 2 weeks from now, and you can once again hear us here on WUSB. I'm Eric Corley. It's been fun, and hopefully we'll have even more fun next time. So until then, take care of yourselves, stay safe, and all that kind of thing. Bye-bye. The Ministry of Truth.
Bye-bye.